All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mount West Wire basketball podcast. That's right. We took a week off because we can do that. That just gives us more time to chat about hoops. Jeremy Moss with Eli Betker. Say hello to the folks.
Hello to all the folks. Can I start with one little comment here? I'm a little heated by the Mountain West Wire Thanksgiving sides because I don't know why green bean casserole is the second least respected Thanksgiving side according to our staff.
Okay, let's get into it. We'll do it. Let's get
major issues with that.
What's included in your green bean casserole?
Just okay. You got the green beans. You have whatever the
I'm not
the
one
who makes it. Yeah. And then the little onion.
Yeah, onion chips.
Yeah,
those are good. Yeah, that's not bad.
It's perfect. Then why is it 23rd out of 24?
I didn't put it near the bottom. I like how sweet potato pie got a first place vote by 22nd.
So one person likes it, everyone else hates it.
Here's my thing. I'm with somebody. Okay, where did you put mashed potatoes?
I think it's top five.
Yourself? You didn't put them number one, did you?
No, I did not.
I felt somebody was getting at us on Twitter, which I get. Like, mashed potatoes shouldn't be considered at all. I disagree at all. But number one?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a Tuesday night side dish, you know?
However, it's essential for Thanksgiving.
It is, but it's also not like something you eat the other 364 days of the year.
Bread rolls? Come on. Who put bread rolls number one?
Bread rolls are solid. Not number one.
Not for a side. You should have, like, I like how you put biscuits.
Stuffing.
Stuffing should be number one by far. I think you and me put stuffing number one. Because if you make it the right, okay, I'm not talking crappy stovetop. I'm talking making it real yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you make it. That's really good. Pumpkin pie is fine. Corn, whatever. I could take or leave corn. It's people. I don't think I've even ranked cranberry sauce.
Cranberry sauce is grossly overrated.
Yeah, I hate it. It's a plain green. I did have something very good this weekend. Went to one of my. I don't remember what house is that, but they made a. It's not exactly the green bean casserole, but it was basically, you know, the long skinny green beans.
Mm-hmm.
Not asparagus, but they're kind of the same size.
Yeah.
Like that, but also had like cooked a little bit of bacon all together, like diced bacon. Whew, that was really
good. Fantastic.
So there's some good stuff here, but you. Man, it's
and Brussels sprouts too. I like Brussels sprouts.
If you cook them the right way, they could be amazing.
Uh-huh. Oh, but they can be bad if you.
Yeah, that's the problem. Broil them in the oven, put some nice seasoning on there, and the good old butter to dip it in, and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. But green bean casserole, well, it's not my favorite. It shouldn't be at the bottom third.
Can you tell me a little bit about candied yams? Because I am not really familiar.
They're disgusting.
Didn't you vouch for them though?
No, I did not. I know I said to put them on there. I didn't.
Oh,
no, I didn't. No. I said to put them on there because you know how bad I am at that. We had leftovers as everybody does. So I don't think it was me. Oh yeah, somebody gave us like it's a big family. Like, here's a couple styrofoam trays of stuff, and I'm like, oh god, why do we have so many freaking carrots here? Because carrots and KDMs look very similar, and they're both cut the same way, like the dimensions. So my wife's like, what is this? I'm like,
this
what do you mean?
Awful.
I'm like, what do you mean? It's like. It's weird too. I don't like sweet potato pie. I like sweet potato French fries. I don't like sweet potato, but candy yams, it's like, whatever. Here's what I like. When it was on my plate, Eli, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Some turkey. And again, I'll say this, turkey is overrated, but whatever. It is what it is. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
No ham, obviously.
God, jeez.
we'll get to basketball hoops in basketball soon, but this, we got mentioned my first bite. I went turkey, obviously some gravy, some mashed potatoes, stuffing. The green bean thing I mentioned with you, some bacon. Somebody made cheesy mashed potatoes, which were amazing.
Okay.
And some stuffing. So, yeah, one sort of vegetable.
That sounds good.
Green beans and bacon. And pumpkin pie. I don't – like, there's rolls, obviously. Mac and cheese wasn't there. Mac and cheese is a little – whatever. It is. It's there sometimes. But that's what I had, and that's my go-to stuff. So, and when I go back for more, I usually don't go back for more turkey. It's usually, like, mashed potato stuffing and cheesy potatoes. But I'm serious. Like, honestly, if I – let me ask you this. Is Thanksgiving food overrated or is it good?
I think it's good. I think there are a lot of factors that can make the Thanksgiving meal worse, but I think overall the food's pretty good.
I think it's fine. If I had my way, which would never go in my household, I would honestly make like barbecue or Chinese food for Thanksgiving. It's so much better. So much because the day after Thanksgiving, I went to barbecue joint, had like the best barbecue I've had in years. So I'm like, dang.
Hmm.
So just
okay. I have one more question for you. Because you are a native Texan.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Are grits, is that part of Thanksgiving? Is that part of it?
I don't like grits.
You don't like grits?
No. It's I know it's kind of like, if you don't know, it's kind of like an oatmeal type thing, but it's not sweet. It's, I don't think it's a thing. I've never ever had it for Thanksgiving. Never. I think it's more of a Southern thing, but not a Texas Southern thing. So like more like Mississippi, Alabama area, Louisiana. I'm pretty sure it is a thing in Texas and Houston or some places, but I've never had it for Thanksgiving, and I'm not a fan.
Okay. I had it when I was in Florida last month, and I thought it was pretty good, so that came to mind.
I've only had it a couple of times, probably just out of the box or something, but I know people get with grits and like or biscuits and grits and stuff, but I haven't had it in years, but when I remember, it wasn't very good. I wouldn't be against trying it again just to see, but as for Thanksgiving side, I've never heard of that, so maybe it's North Carolina, you know what I mean? Like that coastal and Gulf Coast type deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ready for hoops, I guess?
I am.
All right, so should we talk about the Maui invite, which, it happened?
Could have been better.
Could have been worse.
Yeah.
They could have lost to Xavier.
That's true.
However, you lose to Xavier for the Aztecs, you may not lose that final game versus whoever it would have been against.
Yeah.
Illinois or something.
It was a tough outing for San Diego State, but I mean, as stacked as the field was, I think the expectations weren't – I don't want to say the expectations were off, but to think that San Jose was going to win two games or win it all, I think was maybe a bit of a stretch. But there was a lot of bad basketball that was played by the Aztecs. And I put out a tweet 2 days ago. Just I went through all the scoring margins on the stat broadcast to see – because San Jose was down – sizably in much of their 120 minutes in Maui, and they spent a good deal of their time either down by 10 to 19 points or 20 or more. And like that Iowa State game against a team that is pretty beaten up already, they were without their best player and they lost by 30, and you said they were 4-point favorites. There's a lot that needs to be cleaned up, but again, San Jose State has played three of the four or five toughest opponents that the conference has seen so far this year, so we can't beat them too much up for what happened.
Yeah, you can't, but here's the concern. You get down, like you said, they're down 19. I think 19 was the – I'm not sure if the – I was watching the Xavier game, but I think it was 19. But, yeah, beating Duke was never going to happen. We're not dumb. But also, if you go deeper, lose to Duke, Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, that's not going to happen, whatever. Under that huge tomahawk dunk by Zion, jeez. And also, people, quit calling him fat. He's not fat.
Man, if that's fat, sign me up for that.
I know, it's like he's big, he's muscular. Maybe I don't know what the deal is. Maybe they want him to trim down to not be as bulky, which is different from fat. But he's awesome, he's amazing. But lose to Xavier not playing well. But look at the 3-point shooting versus Duke and I think Iowa State. They just beat Aztecs from three. That's nothing they can stop. And I don't care if you're playing Duke or New Mexico or Colorado State or whoever they're playing in the Missouri Valley this week or when they play Cincinnati on Saturday, they can't stop the three. They're not going to win any games. You can't allow teams to shoot that well. And so, like, the losses itself, like winning one game, being fifth place is fine. That's probably the best case scenario. Sixth place, right? The loss, yeah, sixth place, whatever it may be. But winning two games was only possible if they lost the first one, clearly. But they had blowout. They were blown out. They were not competitive in these games at all except for Xavier. And so there's that, and then the 3-point shooting defense was just, you can't allow that to happen. What if you're going up against, like, Sam Merrill can make it from 3-point range all day? What if Justin James goes 8 of 14 from 3-point range, you lose against Wyoming? It's like, you got to fix that and stop it. That was probably a bigger concern than, I don't know, being blown out's bad, but the 3-point defense percentage was just terrible. Whew.
Yeah, and even in that Xavier game, San Jose State trailed by 19. So they trailed by 19 or more in each of their three games in Maui, and I do think that the defense is a concern. Obviously, you have to take into account the quality of teams that have been played, but I want to say that San Jose State's adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom has dropped at least 50 spots already, because I believe it was in the top 50 to start the year, and it's all the way down to 95th at this point. So,
is that a concern, though? How concerned are you for San Diego State?
You'll have nights where the opponent gets hot from the field, and then if you start to see this more and more often, then I think it's legitimate. I'm curious what they do the rest of non-conference play. If this continues, they give up 7-8 threes on 35% or better, whatever it might be, throughout the rest of non-conference play, then I do think it's a concern. But Duke, Xavier, and Iowa State are all capable offensive teams.
Are those teams going to make the tournament, you think?
I think so. I think Xavier's probably the team that is more on the bubble than the others, but If each of those three teams won a tournament game or more, I would not be surprised.
Here's look at the schedule really quick. They have time to turn around because they'll have a gaudy record because they're going to be Jackson State. They're going to be they should be Illinois State because that's on the road and part of the Missouri Valley Challenge. San Diego is okay. Cal's worse than San Diego. They play something called Cal State Dominguez Hills.
Don't lose that one.
Their only game really like that concerns me is playing BYU at home. Mm-hmm. But then again, BYU just got throttled by Houston at home and at Marriott Center over the weekend. So it's like
I might be more concerned about the road game at Illinois State than home against BYU.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, Illinois State has already beat Boise State and Akron on a neutral floor.
Okay.
I'm curious to see what San Diego State does away from home because they looked really good in those first two games.
That's true.
They beat Haas, and then they've been kind of shaky since.
Yeah, that's their first true road game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's what they're at. Don't pull the alarm yet. They played some tough teams. Like they played all the teams they play are top 60 KenPom essentially. Xavier 62, and Iowa State jumped up to 18. So it's fine. They're okay, and they're still like with this because we know the Mountains Tournament is hopeful to get two teams. I know this is December, just about November. We're still months away, but did losing to Iowa State it probably won't make or break any tournament chances? Obviously, right?
No, I don't think it makes or breaks any tournament chances. I think they're going to have to – they can't afford any more bad losses through the remainder of non-conference play. They would have liked to have seen them get two wins in Maui instead, but at least that victory over Xavier is a pretty nice win. So I know Aztec fans will be rooting on the Musketeers the rest of the season.
Yeah, so you got that. Like, just the rest of the non-conference way, they might lose one or twice. I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some decent top 100 teams. Like Fresno's shooting up. Utah State's better than we thought. Clearly Nevada. All right, so we had that going. Let's go to some surprise teams. So Utah State, what's up?
Yeah. I feel like we entered the year with Utah State and Wyoming somewhat sharing similar headlines, I guess. You have a star player, and then the question marks exist around that star player. With Utah State, it's Sam Merrill, and with Wyoming, it's Justin James. But the production besides Merrill has been really, really good. Nemias Cata, who's the near 7-foot freshman, he's been excellent. Had a double-double in their first win in Vegas against St. Mary's, I believe, and they just dominated the Gales, so that was a very impressive win. And they just have picked up good production from players not named Sam Merrill, and that's not to say that Merrill hasn't been doing his thing. He had 37 in the opening mm-hmm. win against Montana State. But a lot of these JUCO guys or unproven upperclassmen have stepped up, and they've looked really good. And I think Utah State is a legitimate competitor, and they've shown that through the first half dozen games of the season.
I think it's more of an unknown factor with the Aggies because mm-hmm. you lose McEwen, you have a new coach, you only have like one or two guys you really know. And so it's getting gelled together. But you look at, like you said, what's his name? Nemias there. He already leads the team in rebounds, 2.5 blocks per game, leads the team in offensive rebounds. And so they're doing I think you're right with comparisons, perfect. But Utah State seems to be playing much better because St. Mary's is basically second in the West Coast Conference. Them and BYU were right there, like 1 point difference preseason wise. And beating a team that's St. Mary's has a shot to make an NCAA tournament. Not saying Utah State will, but that's going to be a pretty good win and hold a lot of weight most of the year. Then they had that Arizona State game, which, oh man, I started watching that second half. Longest game ever, man. They were 75 free throws, 42 ASU, 33 Utah State. And Utah State nearly had it too. They had some chances to get that game. Like they had Merrill with his good 27, Miller with 10, but they had four guys in double figures, but you can't, like, it's funny too. Like the game ended up being about what it should be because free throws kind of decided it. But I see all these tweets like, look what they're doing at Arizona State. They're off to an amazing start. Look at all these great wins. I'm like, do they really have great wins?
It could be a lot worse.
No, I'm just saying, like, they seem like on Twitter, like, all these basketball guys, like, this is amazing. Look what Arizona State's doing. They're 5-0. They beat Utah State. Okay. Long Beach State. I'm like, okay. This isn't the same Long Beach State that win the Big West every year. It's just kind of, I just think uh-huh. people are overreacting on Arizona State a little bit here.
I thought you meant towards Utah State.
No, Arizona State. People were freaking out about that. I'm like, they're doing fine. It's like, yeah, ASU's not great at basketball, but. Here's a title on ESPN. ASU wins heavyweight division MGM main event. Was it a heavyweight division?
I mean, that was the name of it.
Oh, it's not
Yeah.
cap. Okay, here's the reason it's not capitalized. Okay,
Ah.
maybe that's the tweets where they're fooling me. If it's the name of the division, capitalize it, folks.
Yeah, because they had what, heavyweight and lightweight, I think.
Oh, it's just heavyweight bracket. Why that should be capitalized, folks.
Yep. Get on him, Jeremy. Tell
Maybe that's why I'm upset about this a little
him.
bit, because it makes it seem like, oh, they be, heavyweight means like you played some, which, okay, and honestly, it probably is better teams, but it made it seem like it's some the Maui or something. Come on.
Are ASU fans quickly forgetting what happened last year?
Didn't they start off awesome and just fall apart?
Started off 12-0, they were in the mix for a one seed and they were lucky to make the tournament.
And they did not make it, right?
They got into a play-in game and lost.
It's embarrassing. And of course, it's Syracuse. They lost
Yep.
to. Oh my goodness. And the Pac-12 was awful this year, so good luck, Arizona State, because my
Yeah.
Utes are. Whew. All right, so let's go to the other team. Fresno State. They're actually playing as we speak right now out in the Wooden Legacy, playing Hawaii for third place. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I've been impressed with what Fresno State has done, and they're just 2-2, 1-2 record against D1 teams. But their opening D1 game of the year was at TCU. They were ranked 21st at the time, and though they were down one of their starters, I liked how Fresno State competed in that game. They were in striking distance much of the game, and then over in the Wooden Legacy, they've been playing really well.
Northwestern
Just,
blowout.
yeah, just killed Northwestern. They're up as many as 24 at one point in the game. Deshaun Taylor looked pretty good. That was balanced scoring in that one. He had your five starters all in double figures.
Boom.
And then the Miami game,
Oh,
I was lucky to watch the entirety of this one, and that was a shame to see that one end as it did with Fresno State coming back. Deshaun Taylor was fouled on the 3-point attempt, converted all the free throws to tie it up, and then Miami held for the last shot, got a three-pointer off, and
Box
Fresno State
out.
just they just filled the box out, and it was, I don't know if irony is the right word to describe it, but Fresno State just dominated the boards that day, and the one that they needed most, they were just standing around. And Zach Johnson had a tip dunk with 2/10 of a second left, and that was that. So it's going to, and that one might be used as a bit of a chip on the shoulder for Fresno State, at least over these next few weeks, because I know that they probably feel that they could have beaten a pretty good top 25 type Miami team. And then as they continue, they have this very, very long home stretch after they play Hawaii.
Which
They'll be at home until the turn of the calendar over to January.
so and currently, just not that we need to get score updates, but we're up by 10 right now over Hawaii.
Yeah, they should be able to pick up this win.
Or actually, no, let me
Pretty
refresh
good.
real quick because this is live on demand. It's now a 2-point game. It was 9 moments ago. And so,
Don't jinx it
sorry.
now.
No, we'll just keep watching. We won't do play by play on this, but it's we'll see if they win. Is this a good, like, how good's Hawaii? Because there's a chance, like, people thought Fresno could play Utah. Utah's just falling apart. So is Hawaii gonna be a good win for them, you think?
It
They
could be.
they're
I mean, a
191
neutral
Ken
site.
Pom, so that
Yeah,
doesn't.
go ahead.
No, I'm saying they're terrible in Ken Pom, 191, whereas Utah's only 107, so.
It could fall under that second quadrant with it being a neutral game at the end of the year.
Do we even know what that is yet? Is that gonna be the
Not really.
net?
Not really.
I look at what's the website you gave me like last year? I was doing because I was doing almost what, 3 times a week updates, kind of like here's the quadrant ranking system, like quality
On Warren
wins.
Nolan?
Yeah, Warren Nolan. He's still kind of doing that, but it's hard to know if that's going to mean anything.
Yeah,
Hopefully
it's hard to tell.
that work doesn't go to waste for them because that's a really good, it's still a good resource. But it, when you knew it was RPI, you knew it was a top win. Aren't they still doing the similar categories though, 1 through 4?
Yeah, the quadrant system is still the same, but
It's the net quadrant. Whatever ranking or
yeah,
net would fit through 1 through 4.
instead of RPI, yeah.
Okay. And is it still like if it's a home game, road game, it's weighted differently?
Yes,
Okay. All right.
they
So
have different
we'll see.
weights.
So maybe I'll ratchet that up because that's always a fun resource. Like, hey, they're getting quality wins when it's like, really? The Hawaii is a good win? Or is this team, like Illinois State or whoever's a good win? So Fresno State's achieving a bit better than I thought they would. So if they win today, they'll be sitting at 3-2, which is good. Is there anything else the past week? Do we need to mention Mexico escaping UTEP coming from behind?
Yeah, New Mexico's been pretty shaky out of the gate. Their defense is definitely a major concern. They've allowed more than a point per possession in each of their first four games, so that's a bit of a problem. Their offense actually leads the nation right now in effective field goal percentage,
They
so
look pretty
they're
good.
shooting the ball, but they just can't really defend.
So we do have one issue. We try to get to the bottom of this. Our New Mexico guy's Eric, couldn't find anything on it. Neither could Jeff Grammer, at least as far as I could tell at the moment. Did you notice who only played 4 minutes in that game? Corey Mengelet.
He only put against UTEP?
Yeah. No foul trouble. No issues. He played, I think it's all in the first half.
And he's their leading scorer, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure in front of him, but he came off the bench. He didn't start either. I don't have their full sets in front of him, but he only played 4 minutes. There's no real reason why at the moment. So are we getting back to last year's Lobos team? He was before this game because he was obviously at 13.5, so it would have probably been before. But is this like last year, Eli, where random suspensions and don't talk to anybody and, and whisper to the SID to say what to answer or not answer?
That's odd. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there is an injury that just hasn't been disclosed yet.
Let's see. I'm trying to read what it said. He's benched and returned. All it says is, Coach Weir, it'll be between me and Corey. It's a growth process for Corey. Which, did he mouth off? Not, and also not injury-related, coach-related. Here we go. I finally found it. Which means he's probably yapping off a coach at some point, maybe. I don't know. It's I don't want to speculate too much, but it's not an injury. It's probably some disciplinary thing of him doing something dumb as a kid. Because they're all kids. They're playing college basketball, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's you're – I think Paul Weir, I don't know how to phrase this. I mean, you infuse so many different players into your program, and some of which have transferred for various reasons. And that's not to say, like, this Corey Menegault thing is, like, some big deal, but it's the type of issues or obstacles that you're going to have when you build your team around transfers or players that have come from other areas. So I'm not all that surprised. I don't think it's a big deal, but it's –
keep your eye on
it. It's probably going to happen for New Mexico, maybe Nevada, maybe Fresno the rest of the year, just because that's how these rosters have come into shape.
All right. Do we need anything else from the past week and a half we need to chime in on? Boise's terrible, I guess.
Yeah, Boise, they're slow out of the gates as well. That 2-3 lost to Illinois State and Idaho State. Neither of those teams are really much of a competitor. I'm going to keep my eye on them. I think RJ Williams has been awesome, but besides him, I just – don't really know what to make of Boise State yet, and it's still early. Nevada, the conference favorite, they, like, all things being considered, I don't think they've played all that well through their first six games, and they're still destroying everyone. Against Massachusetts, they averaged about 1.5 points per possession. Did you watch any of that game? That was nuts.
I should have. I did not. I meant to. But I did see your tweet, Nevada was going to win by 20, and then – I'm like, what is this about? I go through. I'm like, crap, was this a close game? No, they beat them by more than 20. And then people started retweeting it for football because Nevada got a huge lead over UNLV. And then lost that one. But I did not buy note. I went back and kind of saw a couple things. But like UMass didn't play bad.
No, they played well.
Five guys in double figures. Pipkins gets 30 points. They are a very solid 15 of 36 from three-point range and still lose by, what, 30 points, 97, 23 points? And UMass, are they supposed to be pretty good in the A-10? Are they?
They're not supposed to be bad. They're 134th in KenPom.
That's okay. But, geez, do you give up 80? Here's the thing. Why are you giving up 87 points? Is that a big gripe I should be chiming in on?
I think it's a reasonable gripe, and I think defense is going to be where the problems exist for this team throughout the year. Because the offense is just phenomenal, ranked first in the nation in KenPom. But allowing 87 points to UMass is a bit of a concern. It was more of an up-tempo game, though. But those things are going to have to be ironed out, at least through these next five games, because if you take a look at what Nevada has upcoming, four of their next five games are going to be away from Reno. They're at Loyola Chicago, at USC, have a neutral site game against Arizona State, a semi-away game against Grand Canyon, and their home against South Dakota State and Mike Dom. So they're going to be tested on the defensive end over these next five games, and if they don't show up, they're probably going to slip up in at least one of those.
You think they will? Do you think they will?
I think that USC game could be a bit of a question mark. Arizona State's pretty solid too. If they lost more than one game, I'd be stunned. I think either of those Pac-12 matchups could be tough, though.
USC, is it a neutral site or is that L.A.?
That's at L.A. Then Arizona State game is at Staples Center as well.
Oh, Arizona State. Oh, we just talked about ASU, who's apparently amazing with Hurley as their coach.
That's right.
Off the chart, the heavyweight bracket victory. Okay, so when they play Loyola, it's on ESPN News, 5 Pacific, 7 Central time. So it's a decent time slot, Tuesday night. let me see, because are there still people, I know we discussed before, are there still people still giving Loyola votes in the top 25?
They were last week, I think.
Last week.
Yeah.
They're not bad. They're a nice 67 Ken Palm. They are, what, 4-3 on the year? 4-2? 4-2. And they also have to players, it seems like, a couple of starters, right? And they're also a 7-point road home dog. So the only reason to watch this game is because of what happened last year. The Loyola, still a decent team. They're not going to fall off. They're still going to have contention to win the Missouri Valley. But just watching, maybe Nevada will be pissed, win by 25.
I would not be surprised at all if Nevada absolutely blew this one out. Like, if they win by, I would be more surprised if Loyola won than if Nevada won by 20. I think they're certainly capable of doing that.
Okay, all right. So Nevada, watch. Here's the game schedule for the week. Just kind of, we'll go through a couple of these. We're not going to. Oh, should we play our favorite game from last year?
BPI?
Just for the heck of it.
Yeah, might as well.
What is the BPI project? Because we already told you KenPom 7 plus 7 for Nevada on the road. What's the BPI have it up?
For percentage?
Yeah.
I would say it has Nevada as a 68% favorite.
Too much. It's 60.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, 60%.
Okay. Someone take those odds.
Someone take.
I don't think this is going to be a close game, but I'm up for being wrong. But I think Nevada is just so much more physical and deep than Loyola is this year.
That makes sense. Also, really quick, one last one, real quick. USC Nevada.
50-50.
Almost 53. You're getting better at this.
Okay.
Because last year was so far off, it was just comical.
Now that we've been doing it for 2 years, I'm starting to get the hang of it. Maybe.
So that's just some pretty good, decent wins at USC, neutral. And so that's weird. They go to USC, you go back to Staples as well, like the week after. Yeah, okay. Where's the Grand Canyon game? Is that also in Southern California? Is that another neutral you said?
That one is in Phoenix at
The Jerry
Talking Stick.
Jerry Colangelo Classic. Mm-hmm. Hey, this could be a future Mountain West Conference game in about 5 years. Just saying.
Yeah, that could be fun.
I'm still on that bandwagon. Go for it. All right. What other games? We do have the Missouri Valley Conference Challenge. Bradley's playing San Diego State. Is that right?
No. Bradley's taking on New Mexico.
Sorry. Here's what we have. Let me go through super quick. Boise State Drake. It's on ESPN Plus, so if you have that subscription. Do you ever use ESPN Plus, Eli?
No. Does it come with ESPN Insider?
Yes, it does. Do you have ESPN Insider?
I do.
Then you have ESPN Plus.
Cool.
So I get the magazine. I don't really read the magazine. I just get the when it was Insider stuff. The body issue is pretty cool. A couple issues here and there, like the preseason stuff. But that's an ESPN Plus, so it's usually pretty good. So check that out. Southern Illinois at CSU. Jackson State, not part of it, at San Diego State. Wyoming at Evansville. Oh boy, that's going to be brutal. Also, ESPN Plus game. NIU Utah State. That could be interesting, right?
Yeah, that's an intriguing game.
Wasn't the NIU game that Nevada lost to last year?
NIU played UNLV last year.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's when UNLV was actually good. You got Missouri State Air Force, Pacific at Fresno. Blah blah blah. Valpo, UNLV, whatever. Indiana State, San Jose. Let me ask you this about San Jose. Am I correct in that they're not going to have a Division I win all year?
You are incorrect.
Who are they going to beat? This Indiana State?
I mean, I think, San Jose State, not to go overboard with them, but they've been pretty competitive through their first six games. Now, they haven't beaten anyone yet, so that's kind of
it'd be Life Pacific. A problem. Life Pacific, come on. That's what I said, non-D1 games.
Yeah, okay. Well, their best
dude, they lost to two Big Sky teams.
Yeah, I mean, okay, they lost two games on buzzer beaters.
That sucks.
The other three, they were either leading or within a possession with 5 minutes left. They've been close.
Close. All right, so I'm looking at KenPom really quick. They are favored to beat Bethune-Cookman in Northern Arizona. That is it.
Well, you have to say it like that.
I had to read the name, Bethune Cookman. What do you mean? Say it like what?
I don't know. I don't know. We're trying to give San Jose State a fair shot here.
We are. No. I didn't mean to bring it up like the meme. It would be something. However, you brought up something that is kind of cruel. Hey, if their roster they had 2 years ago, they'd be pretty good.
Okay, yeah, that was.
That's tough, man.
You had some sad emojis on that.
Oh man, it's not a bad thing, but it's just like, but seriously, if they had those guys, they would. Somebody said they'd contend for the conference title. No, they'd probably be top four, maybe.
Yeah,
But
I was going to say that top
it's
four.
neither here nor there. But we wish them the best of luck. But it's just going to be kind of comical the rest of the way.
It could get rough.
And also, those games are basically toss-ups.
They have a stretch where they're at Stanford, at Cal, at St. Mary's, home against Fresno State,
At
and at
Nevada.
Nevada.
Good luck, folks. They are predicting. Ken, I like how Ken Palm does this too. Chance of winless record 2.7%.
Ooh.
Projected record is actually 6-24, 3-15 in league play. That's a bit high.
You want to pick those three wins?
Okay, let's do it. Might as well.
Have to pick at least one road game.
Okay, they play Air Force on the road. I'll take that one.
Jeez.
They will. I say I'll go Air Force twice, and then oh jeez, Wyoming at home.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
That's tough.
Let's get some of that DFS staging. It'll be all right.
That's all I got for that one. Maybe CSU because they don't look too good yet. But oh man. All right. Let's see the other games we got really quick. I know we're kind of stumbling through here, but it's all good. Basketball is exciting, but this time of year it's like, okay, who's playing who and when? What? You're playing, it's hard to gauge. Like when we do our power rankings, it'll be all over the place again. There's not also real quick, there's not many games Thursday. Actually, there's no games Thursday, no games Friday, so take the weekend off and chill, I guess. Saturday, you got CSU at Colorado, which I don't know what to make of that, but part more of the San Diego State, Illinois, Missouri Valley Challenge, and that's the Nevada USC game on Big Ol' Fox, so check that out. Cincy at UNLV, whew. The almost Mick Cronin rumor comes to town because he's nearly the rumor.
Ah.
We can bring that up again. Is UNLV going to get smoked in that game?
I don't think so.
No. Are they going to win that game?
I also don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe Cincinnati by like 7 to 12 points, but apparently 10 points is a blowout according to the NCAA, so I don't really know what to
that
tell you.
is ridiculous. That it
Yeah.
should be what, 15 points?
At least, yeah.
'Cause 10 points is like, look at the Arizona State Utah State game. What if there's a stretch of like a free throw contest the last little bit and you're down 2 points? Foul. Okay. They make two down. I mean, down. It just adds up when really, with 90 seconds left, it was a 3 point game or 4 point game. Ended up losing by 10. Or no, by whatever. I mean, like, it should be higher than that. It shouldn't be capped at 10. Because you could be a 3 point game with 3 minutes left and lose by 12, basically because you free throw is, say, 9-2 disparity. And so that's lame, and I'm betting that'll be adjusted, but it is what it is. But I don't think it'll be Cincy because Cincy's 5-1. They're pretty solid in the American. They're on a 5-game winning streak after losing to Ohio State at home to open the year. And yeah, they beat Mississippi, George Mason, some decent teams. Well, maybe not George Mason, but Mississippi's pretty good. I don't know. It's going to be tough for UNLV. UNLV is going to, I think they're surprising me a little bit, right? Because we kind of poked fun at the LMU loss a little bit, but they're going to overachieve what their expectations are. Because LMU is, are they still undefeated? They are they 6-0 still?
Yeah, they are 7-0 now.
7-0. UNLV, Cal State Northridge, a terrible Georgetown team, Ohio. What's CCSU? Central. Oh.
Central Connecticut.
Okay, and then they beat Florida A&M. So not the best competition, but they're winning, and so we'll
Which
know for sure.
helps UNLV.
Yeah, we'll know for sure. They play at UCLA. That'll be interesting, if because they will be 8-0 playing the Bruins. So
This next 4-game stretch for UNLV will be a good measuring stick for them when they host Valpo and Cincinnati, and then they're on the road against Illinois and then play BYU. If
Yeah.
they split those 4 games, I think it's worth taking a look at UNLV as maybe a top 6 team. But if they get swept or win just one, I think they're still back in that 7th, 8th place range where I had them to start the year.
KenPom hasn't been just one win beating Valpo.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I guess he's interesting. Since he's only given them a 4 point difference. But also only 1/3 chance to win.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I think that game could be really close. I don't know, it's definitely not going to be an offensive showcase. It's going
Oh,
to be
gee.
very physical and
Big Ten
a lot of
basketball.
second chance baskets. So
Right?
it could be tight.
It's a Big Ten basketball game.
that's right.
All right, any other games you want to mention? Anything else about the this past week or two, or any things we missed?
I don't think so. I'm interested to see what's going on with that Corey Manigault thing, because I did not see that earlier in the week.
Yeah, I know he didn't play. Nothing. It only came up on game day. It didn't come up prior to that. There's nothing to mention until day of. Or, I mean, during the game when Jeff Garber noticed, hey, he's only played 4 minutes and we're already in the second half here.
Yeah, so, that's odd.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, but there's always something with Lobos, because it's like there's a reason. There's a hashtag, let's get weird or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Get weird for Paul Weir. So
always living up to that name.
Something with that. Like, oh, yeah, you got the most tips today. You're starting. You have 4 points on the year. We're sitting at game 25, but you're starting in the season finale versus whoever with the conference title on the line or something. I don't know.
That's how he does things.
That happens. But all right, so that's it for basketball today. Again, check us out, MWR.com. We'll have a bunch of hoop stuff with this week. Also, especially, football's winding down a little bit, so there'll be probably even more basketball, because we can free up some bandwidth for football to basketball writers to do both. So check out that. We'll have our power rankings, I'm assuming, Monday. And you're doing also – tell people what you're doing, because you're doing a cool thing with the highlights of the week. So people – I'm going to say this, Eli. We need to have people send you highlights so you get the right ones. Not that you haven't been doing a good job.
Yeah, but I was going to that out, actually. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that.
Because every – are you doing Sunday or Monday? When do you put the highlights up?
I put them out on Monday.
Okay, with the how the week went, right? Those are both Monday?
Yes.
Okay, So those are coming up Monday for the week that was. Power rankings, probably Monday as well when I get to them. Last week was kind of late. Sorry for that. But he does the top five highlights of the week. I sent you a couple, and because there was a nasty block, which I noticed you did not use, by the way. Just saying.
Did I not?
I don't think you did. It's okay, though.
No, wait. I'm pretty sure I did.
Maybe was I missed it.
Wasn't it the
New Mexico game?
Chamwa from UNLV.
I thought it was New Mexico. Regardless, whatever. I'm kidding. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. I just sent you a couple, but send them to Eli, or you can tag Gebetger_Eli or MWC Wire, and we'll make sure he sees them, because you tweet from that account and have alerts or whatever. So. Any highlights you see, typically Twitter highlights are best, because going through and editing the highlight takes time, and maybe we don't have that time. But we could also do the timestamp and start the highlight at 35 seconds, whatever it may be. But tag us and send us any cool highlights you see, because there's a lot, and we probably miss a lot too. And so we don't want to skew the rankings, because you're doing a highlight ranking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're doing that too. So I post 5 highlights every Monday. The player who had the top highlight for the week gets 5 points, second place gets 4 points, and so on. And we'll be keeping track. And I think it'll be fun to do at the end of the year when we announce our player of the year and freshman of the year and all that, and also have maybe like our most exciting player of the year and whoever that is the highlight points.
Yeah, highlight player of the year. Go for it. Why not?
I think that'll be fun. We have John Knight III from Utah State, who's in the top spot right now. He's just been dunking on everyone. Very exciting.
Yeah, so send us those. And also, we need to make sure – here's a program we know for Eli. Not that it matters too much, but let's make sure we link back to the prior ones as well.
Mm-hmm.
Week one, week two. So maybe you're doing it, because I glanced through last week. I didn't see, but just send us your highlights. We want the best plays possible. Who doesn't like throw down dunks and windmills or behind the back, whatever pass, no look pass off the elbow going to whomever for a deep three? Give us those highlights.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's our spill there to just kind of send them our way. But check us out, MWR.com. Twitter, MWC Wire, Facebook, all that great stuff. Give us a follow anywhere. And if you're listening to this show, listen to our football show. If you're not, if you are listening to both, we appreciate it as well. Subscribe, tell a couple friends. Give us a review. We have like 10 reviews. I want more. I would like 12 reviews by the end of the year. Is that possible? Not 12 more. 2 more.
Okay. Right. I mean, that was lofty. Yeah, 2 more by New Year's Eve. I think that's fair.
Let's do it. When my conference play starts, right? Isn't conference play January 2?
Don't remember.
Okay. Sounds right. It's coming up. End of the year. So
yeah, you're right. You're right.
All
right.
We'll be back probably next week. We'll keep in touch, but we'll see what happens, because it's non-conference basketball and the schedules are not uniform. So we'll see you next time, folks. And yeah, go your team.